These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hello and happy Sunday morning. If you are like me, an NFL fan, you are basking in the post-NFL draft glow. I'm going to talk about the NFL draft, which just took place over the last 3 days. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. And we are going to talk about, as I mentioned, the NFL draft, one of the high times of the offseason where we get to see where these college prospects are going to land. And this should start kicking off rookie draft season. Usually they touch off this week. I know I have several that are starting this week. If you're like me, you're probably trying to make sense of what happened. So I'm going to touch on each of the four key position groups and talk about where I have them kind of in the overall picture. But we start with quarterback because that is where the NFL started. Cam Ward, as expected, went 101 overall to the Tennessee Titans. That is going to leave him as the number one quarterback on the board, kind of how it was for me heading into the draft. So he remains in that pole position. But quarterback is a position that certainly went through its ups and downs. Shedeur Sanders was kind of viewed to be by most, including myself, as the number two quarterback prospect going into the draft. But he had a precipitous fall, ended up being the sixth quarterback off the board in the fifth round, was the second quarterback taken by his team, the Cleveland Browns. But when I'm looking at my top quarterbacks going into rookie drafts, I still have him at number five. Jackson Dart, the Giants came back up into the first round and grabbed him. It's a little bit of a murky depth chart, but he is quarterback two. Jalen Milroe ending up going to Seattle, kind of an interesting selection there. Does he have a clear path to touches? It is hard to tell. I still have him as quarterback three. Probably the biggest surprise was Tyler Shook, who came off the board at pick number 40 in the second round. He went to the New Orleans Saints. It's the highest the Saints have drafted a quarterback since they took Archie Manning in the 70s at the number two overall pick. That says something, but what is his role going to be? We're still a little unclear. A lot of reports came out that Derek Carr has a serious shoulder injury that could cause him to miss all of the 2025 season. If that indeed ends up being the case, Shook, along with Spencer Rattler, who went last year in the draft and started a few games for the Saints last year, would likely be the couple of quarterback options. Tyler Shook was not a guy that a lot of people had highly rated for fantasy heading into this draft, but you have to appreciate that draft capital a little bit, and that has to move your ratings a little bit. So where are these quarterbacks going? I think Cam Ward is going to go in the top three picks. For me, Ashton Jeanty remains my 101 overall in all formats, still my top running back. We will get to them in a minute. But especially in superflex drafts, Ward going two, three, I don't think he goes any worse than four. He's going to be right up there. Jackson Dart, I could see him going toward the tail end of the first round. If a team is desperate, do they reach for him in the middle of the first round? That's certainly possible, but it is no lock he starts. Brian Daboll came out and said they are going into training camp with Russell Wilson as their starter. They also have Jameis Winston on that roster. Tommy DeVito still on that roster. There are a lot of questions to be answered. And Dart may be a guy that ends up sitting most or all of the season, especially depending on how the Giants are doing. Remember, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, it was seemingly a somewhat of a close call for them to get to return in 2025. I think they're going to be motivated to show that this team is better and to try to win games. probably one of the veterans gives them a better chance to win games at the start of the season. Does that carry through all the season? Maybe. But with Dart, you, much like Michael Penix last year, I think you have to be prepared that he's going to sit for a whole season. Maybe the end of the first round. And then the questions, Milroe, Shook, Shedeur Sanders, who went in the fifth round to the Cleveland Browns, another team that has a big quarterback question. Deshaun Watson still on the roster. My guess would be he ends up getting placed on IR sometime during training camp, ending his season. They have kind of talked about as a team, they don't really expect him to play for them again. He's coming off two blown ACLs or Achilles tendons from last year. That is a tough road back. He has said he wants to rehab and play. I just don't feel like the team wants that. But they traded for Kenny Pickett and they signed Joe Flacco in the offseason. They also took another quarterback, Oregon's Dylan Gabriel, in the third round. And you would ask, why do I not have Gabriel higher? I didn't have Gabriel higher going into the draft. I think it's a murky situation. Yes, Sanders fell. Yes, draft capital matters in some senses, but I like Sanders' chances better of making that roster than Gabriel. They have five quarterbacks right now. I think one could end up on IR, but are they going to carry four into the season? That feels a little bit hard to judge. Are they going to release a Flacco or a Kenny Pickett? That feels a little murkier too. So where are you taking these guys? You know, probably the end of the second round is where you might look for some, or into the third and fourth round. There are a couple of third and fourth round steals I like at quarterback. Will Howard went in the sixth round, but he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Beyond Mason Rudolph, they don't really have a lot going on there. Maybe they end up signing Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they don't. Again, if you're looking for kind of a dart throw, end of the third, into the fourth round, I like him. Kyle McCord is another quarterback I have at seven. He went to the Philadelphia Eagles, also in the sixth round. Again, you know, he's competing with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Tanner McKee as backing up Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a starter, barring some kind of catastrophic injury. But I like McCourt's chances to be a backup there, maybe even be the number two during the season. So that is another guy in a super flex league I'm taking a dart throw on. And the last one will be Quinn Ewers. Yes, he went in the seventh round, but he went to the Miami Dolphins. They did pick up Zach Wilson. They have Tua. He's their starter. But we've seen injuries and a lot of uncertainty with Tua. So that is an interesting choice for me. You know, I have Gabriel then kind of, you know, in that top nine. I know he was the fifth quarterback off the board, and maybe some would have him a little bit higher. I just think with the Browns then going back and getting Sanders, I just feel like it was a tough draw for him. Probably going to be a tough draw for him. Some other quarterbacks that went, Riley Leonard, went to the Colts. He joins a quarterback room that has Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. Hard to say there. Curtis Rourke went to the San Francisco 49ers, a team that obviously has Brock Purdy. They went and got Mac Jones, so he's kind of maybe a depth and development guy. Graham Mertz in a similar situation where he got picked up. I wouldn't be surprised if none of those guys go drafted even in Superflex. It's hard to imagine more than eight or nine quarterbacks going in. I think most of them are going to be third and fourth round. Probably the only surefire first rounder for me is Cam Ward. I could see a case for Dart going at the end of the first or in the early second. I could see a case for Jalen Milroe or Tyler Shook going near the end of the second, depending on your quarterback situation and where you want to take shots. But a lot of these guys are going to be kind of YOLO balls in the third and fourth round. Let's move on to running back. As expected, Ashton Jeanty went at the sixth pick to the Raiders. He remains my top running back. He remains my 101 overall in all formats. How does the rest of the running back group look? Well, we had some running backs that got good draft capital. Marion Hampton, my number two running back, went at pick 22 in the first round to the Los Angeles Chargers. Going into the draft, I had Travion Henderson 3, Quinshon Judkins 4. Both of them went in the second round. Judkins going to the Cleveland Browns, Henderson going to the New England Patriots. Some people then have flipped and put Judkins higher. I'm going to keep them 3 and 4, especially since the Cleveland Browns doubled up later and went and grabbed Dylan Sampson. Now they have need for running backs in their room. They only had Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong going into this draft, but I liked Henderson and his upside a little bit better than Judkins going into the draft. I'm going to keep them in that position. I think all four of those guys are definitely in play for first round picks. I think Hampton moves and solidifies himself into a top five with Ashton Jante, Cam Ward, Tet McMillan, and Travis Hunter. Those would be kind of the top five for me. After that, it becomes a little squishier. I liked Henderson, Judkins, and Caleb Johnson, still my number five running back. He went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have a couple of guys there, but nobody who is probably confirmed to be taking a hold on it. You know, Jaylen Warren signed a 1-year restricted tender. They have Kenneth Gainwell. I think Caleb Johnson can still carve out a good role with Najee Harris gone. So he remains my number five. I would think that he would be a first round look too. Probably those five running backs are in contention for the first round. Most interesting pick, RJ Harvey goes in the second round to the Denver Broncos. Broncos, a good landing spot. All they have is Audric Estime, Jaleel McLaughlin, Tyler Beatty, and Blake Watson on the roster. They needed running back help. Harvey going in the second round, you cannot ignore that. I didn't have him incredibly high going into the draft. I like the landing spot. I like the draft capital. He's my running back six. I could see some people going for him at the end of the first round, depending on team needs and what you want to do. I like him a little bit better in the second round. I think that's probably a little bit of a better spot for him. Cam Scataboo goes to the Giants, was a day three guy, but the Giants, another team besides Tyrone Tracy, who is another day three guy who's kind of taking the lead there, and the veteran Devin Singletary, they have some openings. Is he going to get a ton of volume? No, but he probably is a second round pick. I mentioned Sampson going to the Browns. I think they are still planning on using him. So he probably is a second round, early third round kind of pick for me. Some other running backs that caught my eye, Jordan James going to the San Francisco 49ers. They traded James Mason. They let Elijah Mitchell go. So aside from Isaac Rendo, there isn't a lot behind Christian McCaffrey. I think there's an opportunity there. He moves up a little bit for me. Woody Marks going to the Houston Texans. You know, they have Joe Mixon, who's an entrenched starter, but Damian Pierce coming to the end of his rookie contract. I think there's ways that we could see Marks work himself in, so he becomes kind of a late second, third round kind of option when I'm looking at spots. Other running backs, you know, there were not incredible landing spots for a lot of these guys, not clear path to touches. Bishal Tuten, who we kind of liked, went fairly early on day three, but went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have Travis Etienne and Tank Bigsby this year. How does he mix in? Is he a change of pace? Is he kind of a gadget player? Jadon Blue going to the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, a team that, you know, you get kind of interested in.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
their running situation. They picked up Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams this offseason, but none of them is on a long-term contract. I think the real question kind of becomes what role do each of these guys carve out for themselves? But Blue, a fifth-round pick, you can't ignore some of that draft capital. Devin Neal, the guy I liked out of Kansas going into the draft, ends up going in the sixth round. That's a little bit later than I would have liked, but he goes to the New Orleans Saints. I like Alvin Kamara. He's going to be the workhorse there, but there are a lot of questions beyond Kamara. We have not seen Kendre Miller really develop into much. They have a new coaching staff there. Could Neal have a chance to kind of be maybe a goal line guy, maybe a change of pace guy? He could be. This is where you're looking to take shots. Similar with DJ Giddens. He went in the fifth round. He went to the Colts. They obviously have Jonathan Taylor, but they don't have a set situation behind Jonathan Taylor. Trevor Etienne, he went to the Carolina Panthers. He was taken in the fourth round, which is decent draft capital, but the Panthers, another team, a little bit of a murky backfield. Chuba Hubbard, the lead there, they went and got Rico Dowdle, who was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, who joins that backfield. Jonathan Brooks, who was a fairly decently taken draft pick last year, tore his ACL again, isn't expected to play in 25, but what happens in 26? So ATN, has some competition. What role can he carve out for himself? We saw Taj Brooks go a little bit later in the draft, sixth round, but he went to the Bengals. Beyond Zach Moss, they don't have a lot behind Chase Brown. So Brooks, you could see maybe working himself into a change of pace guy. Into the seventh round, Damian Martinez. That was a running back that I kind of liked coming into the draft out of Miami. He ends up going to Seattle, another team where there are a lot of running backs. So what you can kind of see is it was a deep class. We had some guys that we liked, but a lot of them end up in weird situations. Ollie Gordon ends up in Miami, where there's a logjam. LaQuint Allen also went to the Jacksonville Jaguars, so they have just a lot going on in running backs. The Chiefs waited till late in the draft to grab Breshard Smith, but, Isaiah Pacheco is there. They signed Elijah Mitchell. They brought back Kareem Hunt. So there's a lot of committees going on, and some of these guys are going to be great second, third, third, fourth round lottery picks, guys maybe you can stash on a practice squad, but there aren't a lot that have a clear path to touches. I think that really separates kind of an elite top six who would all be first round, early second round consideration for me. That's Ashton Janti and Marian Hampton, who I have pretty much locked into the top five spots. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Johnson, RJ Harvey. Beyond that, it's probably personal preference, a little bit of team need, and where you would get some guys in there. So let's take a look and move to wide receiver. Number two pick off the board was Travis Hunter. His team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, says he is going to play primarily receiver to kick things off, but will also still play cornerback. Tet McMillan, who was my number one wide receiver going in, he goes number eight to the Carolina Panthers. So both those guys getting first round selections, both inside the top 10. I think those are the other two that I would have as kind of a top five locked up for me in Superflex. Hunter still my number two. McMillan still my number one. I would take those guys probably four or five after doing two running backs and Cam Ward in Superflex. But it kind of depends on preference. I like Emeka Buka. He goes in the first round, pick number 19. It was a good draft capital, but he goes to Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that has Mike Evans, Chris Godwin this year, has a second-year player in Jalen McMillan. So I think for at least for the first year, that's going to be a little bit of a rough go. Luther Burden goes into the second round, but I still have him as my wide receiver four. I liked the landing spot with the Chicago Bears in that offense. He went as the seventh pick in the second round. He was actually the sixth receiver off the board, but I like the talent. I still like the landing spot enough that I have him there. But the number five pick, or the number five receiver for me, Matthew Golden, was a guy that went in the first round, went to the Green Bay Packers, could have a good upside position there. I think Emeka Ebuka, Luther Burden, and Matthew Golden are all potential selections in a first round, depending on need, how many go, what your preference is. I could see you having them in a different order. I think they are all gone no later than early second round. Beyond that, Jaden Higgins, actually the fifth receiver taken off the board. I still have him as my wide receiver six. He goes to the Houston Texans. He was the second pick in the second round. They obviously liked him, targeted him. He goes opposite Nico Collins. They have Christian Kirk, who they traded for in the slot. Tank Dell likely to miss all of 2025. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is they doubled back and grabbed a receiver not too long later, grabbing his Iowa State teammate in Jalen Noel in the third round. Does that create a little bit of a logjam? Maybe. I have Jalen Noel at wide receiver 11 right now. Just a little bit of a confusing situation. We did not see a lot of dynamic landing spots for receivers. We also didn't see a ton of them go early, you know, in the first 2 days of the draft. And some of the ones that did go in the third round, you know, we saw Isaac Tesla go to the Detroit Lions out of Arkansas, Kyle Williams out of Washington State going to the Patriots, Ty Felton going out of Maryland, going to the Minnesota Vikings. Those guys were all third-round picks ahead of some receivers that would have thought would have gone first, but I still don't have them super highly ranked. Guys, you're probably taking a shot on in the third and fourth round. Rounding out the rest of my top receivers, though, Trey Harris went in the second round to the Los Angeles Chargers. That is a good landing spot. I have him currently sitting as my wide receiver seven. Pat Bryant, out of Illinois, went to the Denver Broncos near the top of the third round. I have him sitting as wide receiver eight. That's kind of an interesting landing spot. I liked the potential there. And then Jalen Royals, he went a little bit later in the draft. He went in the fourth round, but lands with Kansas City. I thought it was an interesting spot, a receiver we liked a little bit better than some of the ones that went ahead of him going into the draft. So I still have him there at the end of my top 10. And then my number 10 receiver, Jack Beck out of TCU, he went in the second round, went to the Raiders. Some of his skill set feels a little redundant with what they already have with the Raiders, but you can't ignore that draft capital. He was a guy that was a fringe, you know, top 10 or 12 going into the draft, so kind of solidifies his position. I mentioned Jalen Noel. I have at 11, at 12 for receiver, I have Jalen Lane, who went to the Washington Commanders, some upside there. You know, some of these receivers just didn't land in spectacular spots. Beyond that, I still have Elik Aominor. He went in the fourth round, went to Tennessee. I think there is some opportunity there. Tennessee actually took Shamir Dikey before that, the receiver out of Florida, to begin the fourth round. That was a somewhat of a surprising pick, I thought, for me. So one of those two guys is going to kind of battle it out, probably try to emerge. They did sign Tyler Lockett, and they do have Calvin Ridley, but beyond that, who knows what to make of Treylon Burks. There was some room in that wide receiver room. So a lot of these wide receivers, you know, I think there's five that are in contention for the first round, at least the early second round. And then I'm probably taking a little bit of a pause. I think Trey Harris, definitely a guy I would be looking by mid to end second round, maybe at end of second round for Pat Bryant. But if he slid into the third round for you, that wouldn't be a shock for me either. And third round's probably where I'm looking at Royals, Beck, Noel, Lane, some of these other wide receivers, some guys that we thought had some upside, maybe a receiver that went a lot later, you know, you can probably take somewhere around the fourth round. Well, our final position is tight end, and we did have two tight ends go in the top 15 in the draft. The first tight end that went off the board, though, was Colson Loveland. He went to pick at pick 10 to the Chicago Bears. Tyler Warren didn't have to wait long, though. He did go at 14 to the Indianapolis Colts. I had Warren 1, Loveland 2 going into the draft. I left them there despite the fact their picks were a little bit reversed. I have Mason Taylor, who went to the Jets as my number 3 tight end. He has some good receiving upside, ends up going in the second round fairly early to the Jets, and I think that is a place where he could work his way into a good spot. Elijah Arroyo, a player I like the talent. He ended up being the fifth tight end off the board going after Terrence Ferguson, but going in the second round, I kept him in the fourth spot. Early third round, the Browns snagged Harold Fannin Jr. I kept him as my fifth tight end, dropped Ferguson, stayed kind of where he was as my sixth tight end. He went to the Rams. You know, there are guys playing that I think will be ahead of Ferguson, Arroyo, and Fannin. For the teams they are, at least in 2025. But no Fant going into a contract year. Could Elijah Arroyo ascend? I think that's definitely possible. Second round draft capital, I like that a lot. Harold Fannin, you know, the Browns team that use tight ends and use them pretty well. They do have a great one in David Njoku. But there's a reason they went and grabbed him at the top of the third round. Beyond that, Gunnar Helm went in the fourth round to the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, they have Chig Okonkwo, but I still think there's some potential there. So he remains my seventh tight end. I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the limit of where tight ends end up going in this draft. I think Warren probably still a first round consideration for me. I love the landing spot with the Colts. Their quarterback situation a little bit murky, but I love the talent. Colson Loveland, you know, if somebody wanted him more, I could see him going the end of the first round, but he is probably a early to mid second round player for me. Mason Taylor, a guy I could see really sneaking in there in the second round, maybe in the late second round or in the early third round. And I think third and fourth round where you're going to grab Arroyo, Fannin, Ferguson, and Helm. So that should give you a little bit of idea what to expect. Hopefully you're having fun in your rookie drafts that are kicking off this week. I'll be back in a couple of weeks looking at some of the player movement. We are going to get the NFL schedule release on May 14th. So that's something to look forward to coming around pretty soon. But until next time, hope you guys enjoyed the NFL draft. Hope you enjoy those rookie drafts and diving in, and I'll see you soon.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.